Let's check the numbers in Chicago as they finished up on this Thursday afternoon. Futures like this in the soft red winter wheat pit. The March contract at 744.5 was down one for the day. May futures at 753.75 for the soft red, 3/4 lower. In July, down a penny at $7.60.5. Those are all closes. And not settlement prices from Kansas City, a settlement for the July hard red winter wheat at $8.19. Down 5.75. Closes in Chicago for the corn pit today, 698.5 at 2 o'clock. 4.25 cents higher on the last trade. May futures at 697.5 up 3.75. And July contract 689.25 up a penny for the day. December futures at $5.83.5. New crop corn, 1.75 cents higher on its last trade. And March futures at $5.93.5 up 1.5 cents. Soy complex now, bean futures $14.15 in the nearby January, down 4.75 on the close. March at 1383, down 2.5. The last trade for the May up 2.25 at 1377.5. And July at 1365.5, down 6.75. November beans, $12.81, down 8 cents. Bean meal futures at 410.30 on a close, down a dollar for the day. Bean oil at 49.30. That's up 6 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in the April contract at $135.75. A settlement price there from the CME group up 27.5 cents. June futures a dime higher at 130.37.5. The February feeder cattle at $150.85. And the lead option settled 65 cents lower. The March were down 85 cents at 152.92.5. And lean hogs in the February up 40 cents today at $84.60. April futures at $87 and a dime, down 22.5 cents.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. I am Todd Gleason on this 10th day of January, the day before USDA reports are due to come out for the very first time. Dan Zwicker of CGP Enterprises at 11 o'clock Central Time during the midst of open outcry and electronic trade. What are you looking forward to?
Well, it will probably have some volatility in it. It'll be initial reactions, especially if the numbers are tilted way outside of the trade range or on the extreme side of the range. We're going to have some volatility in the marketplace. The only good thing about it, I guess, is we'll get it over with within seconds, since it is going to be done, you know, right in the middle of the trade when the trade volume is usually the largest. But you'll probably have a real quiet period, maybe starting 15 minutes in front of it. Everybody will start backing off, and then it'll be interesting to see how things handle. But I'd say probably within 15 minutes after it comes out, we'll have it all worked in.
This will not actually be the first time that we've had the USDA reports released during trading hours, of course, because electronic trade and even the open outcry trade was opened a bit early during this past
year,
2012. But they were opening the opening outcry period, so it'll be interesting because volume is usually much higher at this time of the day. Any advice from you to producers about what they should not do in terms of taking a position or not taking a position in this?
Yes, I suppose any kind of covered positions using options, the volatility is quite already pumped up. So my guess is that I would lean more toward probably being a surprise to the upside. I think a lot of the bearishness has already worked into the market, so it's kind of hard for me to see anything super bearish. A larger soybean production, I know a lot of people are expecting something like that, but that's going to be used up on the demand side anyway, so I don't think you would see major changes in carry out. So I don't see this being a super shocker. There's definitely opportunities to be different, you know, because they have the December 1 stocks report. And then when you complicate it with last year's drought and early harvest, we don't know if some of the 12 bushels got counted into the 11 crop year. And, you know, so there is going to be some uncertainty, and I don't think the trade has a lot of confidence, at least last reports anyway, and it's a difficult job. I'm glad I'm not part of the team that tries to figure out these numbers, because it is going to be difficult. And I think, you know, I've said this for a long time, is that I think the USGA sets themselves up for criticism because they come out with specific numbers. They should come out with ranges, because they are estimates in many ways. And if they had the ranges, even though the trade would go to the mid-range, you would still have a published range. And if you're bearish, you would trade one side of the range. And if you're bullish, you'd trade the other side of the range. So I think it could be simpler for the USGA to come out with ranges rather than specific numbers and let the trade get all bent out of shape over 100 million bushels, which is basically is in the margin of error.
Right. There's 100 million bushels in the margin of error. Eventually, that 100 million bushels, is whichever way it shows up, will be at the ending stocks number. And I suppose all eyeballs might float there at some point. What do you think will happen with the ending stocks number, in particular for corn this time around?
Well, if they find bushels, I'm not too sure the ending stocks number would go up any, because they need to put some bushels into feed usage. Now, exports, the way they're going, it looks like exports are going to fall underneath a billion bushels. And I think USGA has the current projection at 1.5 or 1150, I think, and some people think it could fall back as far as 950. So there could be 200 million bushels be taken out of the export market and put into feed usage. The ethanol grind's probably pretty solid. I don't see them wanting to change that very much. So if they lose bushels, they can, you know, take it out of exports and kind of keep carry out the same. If they find bushels, then we could maybe see the numbers go up if USGA wants to take on the export deal, because there's just no way, at least at current pace, that we're going to export 1150 on the corn at this time.
Last week when I talked to you, you were feeling pretty bearish. Have you changed at all this week?
I like corn action. Corn is on target. We had a little reversal up, a daily reversal up on Monday. That's extended itself now, and without a bearish curveball, we could have a weekly reversal up, then that could extend itself into a monthly reversal up. So I do like the action of corn, at least for maybe a winter popping here. And soybeans, everything on soybeans is also in a position to try to put together some kind of winter rally. Tomorrow morning is going to have a lot to say about that.
Yeah, it's difficult the day before a big event like this one to really talk about the marketplace. Let's go back out to the 2013 crop harvest for new crop corn and soybeans. Producers at some point will have to make some decisions about what they're going to be planting. It appears the ratio has gotten more in line at this time. Is it better feeling to you as to maybe a little less than 100 million acres of corn?
Well, yeah, weather's going to have a lot to do with it. But, yes, the soybean market is definitely moving in the direction to try to bring in more bean acres at the expense of corn. We'll have to, it's not real fluffy yet, but it, you know, if it gives people the comfort level or the reason to actually, I think there's farmers out there, especially in our listening audience, that's been on corn a little bit too long and know that they need to bring soybeans back into the mix. That would at least, I think, bring those acres into soybeans rather than another round of corn. But we'll have to see what happens at the end of the day with the South American crop. A year ago at this time, everybody was bared up on the South American crop, and basically it started shrinking and just kept on shrinking through the rest of the year. So we'll have to see what happens there. The dollar was sharply lower here this morning. I think, you know, that outside influence still could come in here and impact commodities, because it's quite obvious politicians of all colors and all stripes and all nationalities, at the end of the day, they print money. And we're seeing currency devaluation throughout the world. So as politicians devalue the currency, it's just going to take more of it to buy a bushel of corn or a barrel of oil.
You mentioned a couple of fundamentals. The Brazilian and Argentine or South American crop is looking much better than it did early on when they thought it was awfully wet and wasn't going to be planted. And now there's some ideas that that one's all right. Turn your attention, though, to wheat. There's some awful cold and frigid temperatures actually across much of China. Are you concerned at all with the winter wheat crop in the northern hemisphere in general? Dry in the United States, cold in China, dry in the Ukraine.
Well, I think those are all factors that everybody's watching very carefully in the wheat market. And any kind of evidence that would come out that we have done some damage I think that would light the fire of the wheat market. There's no doubt about that. Especially here in the U.S., the hard red winter wheat area is still super dry. The weather pattern seems to be, you know, the southeastern United States seem to be getting all the rain, Ohio River Valley and south. Like I told Dave this morning, there's enough water down here. I could have drove my jet ski to work today. It's still raining. I don't know how many inches of rain we've had, but all of the ditches and the canals are all full and whatnot. But that seems to be the pattern, at least for right now. So I do think the hard red winter wheat area, western corn belt, that still could become an issue as we go forward. But we first got to get the final crop report out of the way, and then within 2 weeks, everybody will start talking about 2013.
Well, you may be flooded with water there, but we've had just 0.06 of an inch on campus today. So,
well, I wish you guys could take some of this rain. We got plenty of it.
All right. Hey, talk to you next week. That's
bye.
Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on the closing market report on this Thursday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural futures markets.